Welcome to the Pongcast. I'm your host, Jason, keeping you in the loop for all things table tennis.
That is unbelievable.
And thank you for joining me on the very first episode of the podcast. In this first episode, I will be interviewing Willie Laparillo. He is the president of the NCTTA, that's the National Collegiate Table Tennis Association. It just wrapped up its 2010-2011 season and recently held its championships, which took place April 15th through 17th in Rochester, Minnesota. Now, in the internet age where news is so immediate, that might seem like ancient news. But I know a lot of people in the U.S. are probably not aware of the NCTTA. They may not know that it even exists. So we'll learn about what it is in general. We'll be covering how the championships went and its role in U.S. table tennis overall. For myself personally, I played pretty competitively when I was a junior, but at the veteran age of 13, I already headed for retirement as I was about to start high school, and I stopped playing altogether. After I graduated from high school, I attended University of Florida, stopped by their table tennis club on a whim, and before I knew it, I was a regular player all over again, and I've already graduated, but to this day, I still play. So I think it goes to show how college table tennis and the NCTTA can play an important role in the U.S. scene of table tennis overall by recruiting new players, bringing back former players like myself. And it also provides another venue for a lot of our top young players to compete in. Schools offer scholarships now, believe it or not, and it seems like more and more college kids are playing the sport. So it's getting bigger and better every year, lots of exciting stuff to talk about, and I look forward to discussing it with Willie. But first, the news. The French Junior and Cadet Open just finished April 27th through May 1st, and an incredible result. The U.S. Junior Girls team took the gold medal. That team is comprised of Ariel Singh, Lily Zhang, and Erica Wu. Ariel Singh and Lily Zhang also took a silver medal in the Junior Girls doubles. In the singles, Ariel Singh reached the quarterfinals of the Junior Girls. Lily Zhang got a silver medal in the Cadet Girls. She also reached the quarterfinals of the Junior Girls singles. And Prachi Jha reached the quarterfinals of the Cadet Girls singles. So overall, a very strong result, very impressive finish, and I'm sure we'll see a lot more success from all of them in the near future. And if you're interested in entering the US Open, you better hurry up. May 13th is their deadline. You can enter afterwards, but there's a $75 late entry fee. And after May 21st, no entries will be accepted, so hurry up and get those entries in. The European Champions League finals also took place. That was on April 30th. That has Borussia Dusseldorf out of Germany versus Orenburg out of Russia. Borussia has Timo Boll, Patrick Baum, and Christian Süss. And Orenburg features Vladimir Samsonov, Dmitry Ocharov, and Alexei Smirnov. And kind of a surprising finish as Dusseldorf won 3-0. Timo Boll beat Alexei Smirnov 3-1. Patrick Baum over Ocharov, also 3-1. And the most surprising result, Samsonov played in the third spot, ended up playing against Christian Süss. And he still lost. That was also a 3-1 finish. So Dusseldorf took a 3-0. And the second leg of the match will take place May 27th. And that will be in Orenburg, home court. And finally, the biggest event in all of table tennis, the World Championship, taking place May 8th through the 15th. Michael Mays, it will not be attending. Not a big surprise. He's been battling injuries. A little bit of a surprise is Werner Schlager. He just recently withdrew also for an injury. While those two players won't be there, we can't expect to see the heavy favorites. That would basically be most of the Chinese team and Team of Gold. Five of the top six seated are Chinese, and Bull is the sixth person there. He's seated at number two. And if you check out the website, thepongcast.com, I have a poll up there, and let me know, who is your pick to win the men's World Championship title? And if you check online, the ITTF should be broadcasting a lot of those matches from the World Championships through their website. There should be a live internet stream, so you can catch that all as it happens. I think that's it for the news. Now on to the interview. Willie, thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, not a problem. This is exciting stuff. My first podcast, so to speak.
Okay. Well, you and me both. So hopefully it'll go well. So, Willie, first, if we can get a little background information about yourself, how did you get involved in the sport of table tennis?
Well, I started playing in college, and so, you know, back then, the kind of table tennis I was playing was the P word, which, you know, it's called ping pong. Basically, it's the recreational aspect of our sport. But I started playing in college, and, you know, all through high school, I played team sports of some sort. And so when I came to college, I said, well, why isn't there college table tennis? What's going on? Why isn't, you know, all of this kind of thing? And so I was very interested in finding what was going on, and I was able to find this small organization that was called LNITT. It's the League of Northeastern Intercollegiate Table Tennis. And they're only like Ivy League schools in the Northeast. And by pure luck, I was able to, one of my hitting partners over one of the summers I was in college was this kid from Harvard. And he said, yeah, we have a league. You guys should join. Well, I ended up contacting them and asking them, well, you know, because I went to school at Florida State, if I can Florida State join. And of course, they said no. But they said, if you can recruit five teams, we'll think about letting you in. And so what I did is I had some contacts from University of Florida and the Carolinas, and I said, hey guys, there's this organization, we got to get a part of them. And lo and behold, you know, long story short, 15 teams we were able to recruit, and this organization in the next year, you know, they stopped becoming this Northeastern organization and became the National Collegiate Table Tennis Association. That's I think that was 1999 is when that happened.
99, okay. Well, that's incredible. I had no idea that you were involved with the early beginnings of it. I mean, I actually started playing table tennis around that same time. I played seriously when I was a junior. I stopped altogether, came back to college. I didn't even think about playing seriously again. I actually didn't even want to. But I stopped by the club. I figured one day, you know, let me kill some time, see what's going on. And there's some serious players. They're having fun, but they're competitive. And I got the bug again. I just started playing seriously.
And the interesting thing that you say about that is, you know, a good portion of the players at NCPTA were players that had once played in the past, and that when they were juniors, and then, you know, life happened and they stopped. And then they come back to college, and college is an interesting, you know, learning environment experience where you get to try different things. And one of the things that they get back is they get this bug to play table tennis again. And so it's interesting that you're sort of one of the typical NCPTAers that we have that coming back and playing the sport.
Like you said, it was, you know, a smaller number of teams, and now I haven't paid attention until just recently. I noticed there's a lot more schools. I mean, how did you get to this point? Do you actively recruit more schools to join, or do they kind of search you out? How does that work?
Yeah, it's interesting. So back in the day, I first started as the recruiting director for NCPTA. So I was that for like 5 years, and so my background is recruiting, and so actively, yeah, before Facebook was around, I used internet, phones, you know, basically anything that I could get my hands on. If I knew there was a table in a college, I was calling an intramural department. I said, do you have a table tennis table? And they said yes. I would ask for whoever their winner of their intramural tournament was, and I would go from there. And we were able to increase from, I think in 1999, we had like 25 schools. And we were able to increase probably by 20% every year. And so right now we're up to over 150 schools right now in USA, Canada, and Puerto Rico.
That is,
so it's,
that's crazy. Over 150, you said?
Yeah, over 100. I think 151 is the exact number. But, you know, we have a presence in over 150 schools now. That's USA, Canada, and Puerto Rico. So, yeah, it's exploded. And what's the beauty of it is that we have not hit a ceiling yet. That's the interesting thing. I'm no longer actively recruiting, per se. These schools are coming to us. They hear about us. They know about us somehow, I guess through our, maybe, you know, Twitter, Facebook, maybe hopefully this podcast will help. You know, they're hearing about us and they're contacting us, and so it's really nice on that. But I'm sure that if we had, you know, again, we're a, what do you call it, 501c3 non-for-profit, all-volunteer organization. If we had a dedicated staff member to recruit, we'd go through the roof. I know that we could.
That's what I'm also really impressed about. I mean, NCTTA is totally volunteer. I mean, you guys do this all on your spare time.
Yeah, I you know, I work a 8-to-5 job just like anyone else. And then what I and the rest of the other board members, there's six board members, We call it the 7 p.m. to 2 a.m. shift, and that's what we do. I mean, it's not per se every day, but I say I put 20 to 25 hours a week into NCTTA as well as the other board members. Since we're all volunteers, we don't have paid staff, and so we are essentially board members and staff.
And
so
all
we
the,
do a little bit of both.
I'm sorry. And all the board members, they're all, I guess, are they any of them students, or they're all former students?
Yeah, they're former NCTTA college table tennis alums. They all played in college. They all played for their school.
Uh-huh.
There's actually one who did not play in college. He is actually a coach of one of the scholarship schools that we have now.
Oh, okay.
So, but they're all connected to it all, basically.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's a lot of dedication on all of you guys, and yeah, that's great. And so the sport earlier, like, you know, you said the growth from small numbers close to over 150. I mean, in turn, that also means the competition is getting a lot better. It's pretty serious this year, isn't it?
Yeah, it's so every year, you know, we think, okay, well, wow, we've got the highest level of competition. There's no way we can go farther. And this year, again, you know, we're, I think, probably around, you know, 600 or 700 rating points higher than last year. And so, you know, we always speak about the championships because that is our biggest product, our biggest sort of end of the year bash. And so every year, you know, Texas Wesleyan, they are the New York Yankees of college table tennis. They were the first college table tennis scholarship school. I think they were created in 2003 and they finally joined us in 2004. But they came in and everyone, and it's funny because everyone, they're like the Yankees. Everyone hates the Yankees or loves the Yankees, or maybe even both. The same thing can be true about Texas Wesleyan. Everyone wants to beat Texas Wesleyan, and everyone wants to be also Texas Wesleyan. Professional coaching, you know, scholarship players, you know, even I heard one guy this year, the best money can buy. Unfortunately, you know, that's really not the case. It's just, you know, again, comparisons to the sort of the New York Yankees dynasty,
right,
so to speak.
Right.
But you were talking about the competition, and this is where it gets interesting. For the most part, Texas Wesleyan, you know, would come in and they would, you know, stomp all competition. But within the last 2 years, I'd say even longer, the last 3 years maybe, the competition has gotten much more, how should I say, competitive, being that we've added scholarship schools. Lindenwood University out of Missouri now has a full-fledged scholarship program. Also, the Universidad de Puerto Rico, which is a Puerto Rican, number one school from Puerto Rico, is a scholarship school. They have joined the competition, but not even talking about the scholarship schools, there are non-scholarship schools out there that have excellent players, excellent programs, and in and of itself, they could be a scholarship program, but their school just doesn't want to support that kind of thing. So the competition is huge.
That's what I was wondering. I just heard it from word of mouth. There's like, is it Mississippi? One of those schools, they have like, I don't know, 3-4 guys who are 2,300, 2,400 from China. Is that true? Or maybe, did I get that right?
Yeah, no, that is absolutely true. Mississippi College, they're out of Clinton, Mississippi, and they've got a player/coach who has a connection in China, and they have an exchange program. That college already had an exchange program, and so they created an exchange program where they would bring over students that excelled in table tennis. It's, you know, worked out. And so their team is has 3 2,400 level players on the team, and of course this player coach guy is like 1,800, I think. But Mississippi College is one of those. There's another program just like that. It's called Governor State University, and they're out of somewhere in northern Illinois. They're the same kind of exchange program where they have international students that want to come and study to the United States but have a special interest in table tennis, and then they play on the team and that kind of thing. So it's not scholarship per se, but they get, I think it's what's called like in-state tuition rather than out-of-state tuition, which is a big break, I would say.
Okay, so we've got all these powerhouse schools, but and yet Texas Wesleyan had a lot of challenges. It still prevailed, though.
They did, but it was closer than it's ever been in our history. And so Texas Wesleyan normally comes in, yeah, I won't say they're arrogant, they're confident, we'll put it that way. And so You know, last year they made it all the way to the finals, and somebody finally took a game off of them. That was Lindenwood. Lindenwood had their first scholarship program last year, and this is their second year. So, what's interesting though is that they've never conceded a game, a match to a non-scholarship school. They generally beat everybody, you know, 4-0, 4-0, 4-0.
Yeah.
This year, the University of Ottawa, they're the best Canadian team, came into the mix, and we knew that they were strong. They had two 2400s and two 2300s, and, you know, Texas Wesleyan in their own right has three 2500s and the 2400s. So, you know, by the matchup per se, ratings-wise, they outrated Ottawa probably by 800 points. But, you know, in sport, anything can happen. And anything did happen. So, interestingly enough, the two number ones faced off, and actually Texas Wesleyan has a number one player, Mark Kaczynski, he's like 26-20. And so their number one played Ottawa's number one, who is high 25s, we'll say. And Ottawa's number one player beat Mark Kaczynski. And Ottawa went up 1-0. And again, this was history in the making, because Ottawa is a non-scholarship school. They're the best non-scholarship school in all of North America. And they just, you know, went up 1-0 on Texas Wesleyan. It was a back and forth kind of thing. And this is the semifinals. This is not even the finals. It was a back and forth kind of thing. Whereas, Ottawa, they were down 2-1 at one point. It was a 2,500 level woman player from Texas Wesleyan playing a 2,300 level male player from Ottawa. Well, the Ottawa male player, he pulled it off. He beat her, and they were going to doubles. And, you know, again, it was this kind of sort of interesting thing that has happened in college table tennis, whereas on any given day, anything could happen. At Texas Wesleyan, they're a scholarship school with a coach. They do practice doubles. And I think that in the end of the day is what probably made things work, is they won doubles fairly easily, and they went on, you know, to the finals. But Ottawa was a non-scholarship school. You know, speaking as a representative for NCTTA, I'm very proud of them. I mean, they did something that no other school had done in 7 years since, you know, Texas Wesleyan has come about. So the competition is getting better and better every year. And Texas Wesleyan has even been quoted in saying, we're no longer, you know, complacent. We're no longer thinking, sure, we're going to win. We're nervous. And I love to hear that.
That's incredible. That really is, seeing how dominant they were in the early years, you know, it really felt like nobody had a chance. And like you said, it really didn't. No one took a, you know, probably took a game off of them. So, and now right. we're at the yeah. situation where even we can even develop rivalries. You mentioned Mark Kaczynski, who's been kind of the face of U.S. table tennis for the past, you know, few years, quite a while now.
Right.
One of our best players that grew up in the U.S. and was trained here. And I'm not totally familiar with Canadian table tennis, but I think Pierre-Luc Hintz, that's the guy from Ottawa that I saw on YouTube. They had some really tight matches. Unbelievable play, and if I might be wrong, but I think he's kind of their Mark Kaczynski on a certain way. So that's
you're absolutely right about that. Actually, we sponsored at the Nationals not only the team event but the singles event, and we partnered up with ACUI to do their singles event. And in the singles, it was Mark Kaczynski versus Pierre-Luc Hintz, and it was an unbelievable match. And Mark, I have to check my records, but I believe this is his last year because he's run out of eligibility. I don't see graduating, but I believe it's his last year of college table tennis. And he, normally when he plays, he doesn't look like he's, you know, I don't see the passion out of him, but
uh-huh.
I saw the yells. I saw everything. He put everything out on the table. And, you know, he deserved that. He won, I think, was it, 11-8 in the seventh or something like that. It was probably one of the most phenomenal matches in probably table tennis for college, and maybe all of table tennis.
Oh, definitely,
we've seen.
Yeah.
Just back and forth, awesome matches.
Yeah, I recommend if you maybe do a YouTube search for it, NCTTA Championships, and put Kaczynski or Pierre-Luc Hintz, you should be able to find it, no problem. That was a really great match.
We did stream the tournament, so we've got one of our overworked, understaffed board members working on, because we streamed it and we commentated during it. And so we're trying to edit the stream, I guess, the video, and we're going to put it on our own YouTube channel. Right now, you know, there's amateur recordings of it, which are still excellent.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to have our version of it with our commentators and all of that probably in the next couple weeks.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I wanted to, applaud you guys for your social networking stuff. Like you said, you had the Twitter, the Facebook, the stream going, and people could keep up on it. I was actually out of town. I couldn't even be in front of the computer. But I was on my phone checking up how, you know, all the schools were doing, and I was checking the scores, and I saw, oh man, maybe Texas Wesleyan might go down. I saw they had the close one of the Lindenwood, like you said. You know, I was on the edge of my seat, so to speak. That's great for the sport that, going forward, I mean, we've got these powerhouses and it's only going to get better, isn't it? I mean, more and more schools and just by nature, better players. Even a few years ago, top players would just, I don't know what they do. They go to college, they'd stop playing altogether. And now you see guys like, there's like Marcus Jackson plays for Penn State. Is that right?
The interesting is that a couple of years ago, a lot of the top juniors that maybe got burned out or weren't good enough to make the national team, they essentially just gave up table tennis. And maybe even, you know, I would say, you know, in the time that you and I were playing, they may not have played for their college table tennis team, but something has changed sort of in the mindset of that, where all of the top juniors that maybe aren't as active in the junior level, but hit college, they're still friends with some of their table tennis buddies, and they will say to each other, hey, I hope I see you at the NCTTAs next year. And they may say, well, what is that? What do you mean? Well, college table tennis. Don't you know college table tennis? It's this sort of new little hit program, so to speak, that everyone has to be a part of, because, I mean, it's like a reunion. A lot of these players played when they were juniors, and maybe they quit or maybe they continued, but they get to see each other on a four-day fun weekend of college table tennis and whatever else that we bring. We try to make it as professional of an event as possible with, marching in the athletes and that kind of thing. And you won't get that in a normal USATT tournament, so we want to make it special.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the kind of nice thing about it, you know, college. People are kind of, you know, having fun with college, going to school, being students, but the camaraderie, and like you said, Kaczynski was pumped up and he's trying to represent not just for himself, but for his school and, you know, people coming out for the weekend. So it's good to see. I mean, it can really build good bonds for people, even if you're not a serious player. And, you know, some of my closest friends are still people I met from my own college table tennis team.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. It they form bonds. I mean, everyone always says, you know, in college you make friends for life, and you know, college table tennis is really no different from that. You see a lot of the players that graduate, right? They just go through the whole 4 years or sometimes 5 years, and they're done with college and they want to continue table tennis. And I always get the email saying, hey, Willie, can I still play with my old college team even though I don't go to school there anymore, or that I'm working as a professional? I said, no, you can't. I'm sorry. You know, they still want that kind of camaraderie, because, you know, in the real world, the 9-to-5 world per se, you may have some of that, but it really isn't the same kind of ambience that you have when you're in college, because everyone is sort of in the same boat in college. You're all trying to get a degree, whereas when you go into the real world, there's different there are different things going on. It's not always the same thing, I'd say.
Right. So now, for people who are listening, especially kids and people in college right now, they might not have their own college club right now. Can you give any tips, recommendations on how people can start their own club and start joining in with the NCTTA?
No, that's a good question. So, you know, anyone out there who is interested in table tennis, maybe they're, you know, like I was some years ago, love table tennis, want to play it, and want to know how can they get involved with NCTTA. Well, first things first, you have to create a club at your university. And so we at NCTTA, we're experts of how to work the system and how to help you help your administrators see why this is important. And so that's what you sort of have to do, is sort of go through the paperwork involved. And, you know, again, it's like creating a constitution. We have sample constitutions we can give you. It's getting people interested. Now, here's the beauty of it. Table tennis sells itself. Everyone likes to play. There's no doubt in my mind that at some point in time, somebody has picked up a paddle and say, hey, this is cool, I like this. So that's the beauty of that. But you have to get people, and you have to show a university, hey, I've got 10 people, and here's my constitution or whatever paperwork that they have you fill out, because that's what colleges do. They like to make you fill out paperwork. And you tell them, look, what, and you're laughing. You know what I'm talking about, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically, you just have to jump through whatever administrative bureaucratic hoops right. that a school wants you to jump through. And we, NCTTA, we're there to back you up, to support you, to write letters for you, to call people for you, whatever it takes, basically, because we want you to experience the college table tennis phenomenon that you, Jason, have experienced, that I've experienced, sure. that these kids are currently experiencing right now. Because it's a hell of a time. It's a good stuff.
It is. I'm tempted to go back to college again just to start the whole thing all over. I don't know if I'm eligible to do that, but that's great. You know, I remember when I was running the club and trying to get money, and it felt like an uphill battle. I mean, we're competing with so many other clubs for money, and people think table tennis. I had to give a PowerPoint presentation on why we should get some money. I mean, we were asking for money for like one or two tables. And meanwhile, there's like, I didn't even know, there's like a sailing club. They're asking for $10,000 for a new boat. And I was like, oh my goodness, are you kidding me? And then I did a PowerPoint slide and I had bullet points, but I also had little video clips yeah. of pros playing. And they were so shocked seeing these pros playing, like, whoa, this is the sport. And they weren't even paying attention to what I was saying. They're like, okay, this is pretty cool. Okay, we're going to give you the money you want.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, check it out. If anyone's trying to start a club, contact NCTTA.
Best way to contact us is probably info@nctta.org. And we'll certainly, help anyone out that wants to do that. And, it may seem difficult at first, but really it's not. It's just, trekking through the bureaucratic banters is like what I like to call it. And yeah, the sailing clubs, they always ask for a new boat. But do they really get a new boat? No, I don't think so.
that's true. Okay, I'll give them a pass on that. So any other information people want to get in? I guess the website, is that nctta.org?
nctta.org. And always wanting new schools to join. Interesting thing that we're doing here in the future, probably in our next season, which is the fall 11 and 12 season, is we're, because of the way our divisions are organized, we have these 18 geographic divisions. Well, now we're going to create sort of a new tier. And so we're going to have division tournaments, and now what we're going to have is super regional tournaments and then our nationals. So we're adding more tournaments basically on the schedule. So a lot of the people always say, well, I want to play more. Well, we're giving them more. And so now, if you win your division, for instance, we're in Florida right now. If there's a Florida champion, the Florida champion would have to travel to Atlanta and become, I think, one of the top three teams in the Southeast Regional Championships for NCTTA. And then out of that, they'll go to nationals, wherever the nationals may be. So we're adding more tournaments. We're adding definitely more things for people to do. On that brings more work. So again, if you want to get involved with college table tennis, maybe you don't want to play and you want to help organize and you want to help the poor board members that are working their what's off, we'll also take any volunteer that's interested in what I call the 7 p.m. to 2 a.m. shift. Not really, but just if you're interested in also volunteering as well as playing, we'll take anyone that wants to help out, because we definitely need it.
Okay, sounds good. And let me say that system sounds a lot better than the BCS system we have for college football. And we've got even more teams than yes. college football, so you guys can do it. Yeah, that's great. Okay, well, let me wrap up the interview. I'm going to do this little thing. It's called the third ball attack. I'm just going to ask you three questions. So what equipment do you use?
I use Gatien offensive, and the rubber is Donick Barracuda on the forehand, and Donick Death. I don't remember what I use on the backhand. To be honest, it's something Donick though. F2, I think it is.
Okay, so you're definitely not some equipment junkie trying out tons of other equipment. So.
No. I've used the same blade for the last since I was in college. I haven't changed since. I know I probably should, but I'm too afraid to try something.
What's your favorite table tennis related moment?
Well, it wasn't playing per se. It was actually, I was asked to volunteer at the U.S. Table Tennis Paralympic competition, mm-hmm. and I got to serve as a translator there. And so I got to, you know, I speak three languages, but they just said, okay, well, you may speak Italian and Spanish, that's great, but we have Portuguese and French people, so you're going to translate for us as well there. And I don't know those languages. So, but it was one of the, you know, exciting things about table tennis being so international. I finally got to use my, whatever you call it, weirdness, international weirdness to benefit people. That was, I'd say, my table tennis highlight.
Okay, great. And I'm kind of a music geek. If you can recommend one song that you would listen to getting ready to, you know, get pumped up for a tournament or something like that?
Again, my my interest, I guess, in music is probably very different than most. But anything from Tiesto, DJ Tiesto, Trance, for those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, would work.
Okay. Yeah, I listen to drum and bass, which is... even fewer people listen to that. So, yeah. Okay. Well, thanks for joining me. I wanted you for my first interview. I knew you had a lot to say. I know you're passionate about table tennis, the NCTTA. Like I said, you have a lot to talk about. I know you can curse in like seven languages. Am I right?
Yeah. Actually eight now. Eight.
Okay. If anyone's seen Willie play, been around him, they've seen the, translation skills, are unparalleled. So anyways, Willie, thanks so much for joining me. You really delivered. It was a lot of fun. And good luck with NCTTA and everything else you're doing in the future.
Thanks, Jason. I appreciate you doing this.
Okay, that wraps up the show. If you've made it this far, thank you so much for listening. I hope you found it entertaining and maybe you learned a little something along the way. Now, if you've got any comments, questions, constructive criticism, especially show ideas, people you'd like to hear me interview, don't be modest. If you yourself would like to be interviewed, especially like to hear from top players, coaches, tournament organizers, directors, umpires, if you run a table tennis related business, all those things. And if you've got an event to promote, now I can't promise I'm going to mention events, but that's something I'm considering. So we'll see how that works out. Any other things, please contact me at thepongcast@gmail.com. That's thepongcast at gmail.com. gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter. That's at thepongcast. That's all one word. You can also find us on Facebook. Also search for The Pongcast. Pretty easy to find. Pretty easy to remember. And if you enjoyed the show, please tell your friends, tell your table tennis club mates, tell them it made you 100 rating points higher, and I'll see you next time. Bye.